Hi, I'm Rachel from On Broadcast, and you're listening to Alex Lefchuk on the Midweek Drive.
Marvelous. So, Gabriella, I know you might be sort of saying, "Yeah, yes, but it's all very well. But what about the rest of the Midweek Drive's team, etc.?" Well, we
Yes,
gather
I was just thinking that.
precisely because let's face it, a year ago you were here going to the Christmas scenarios. You were there sorting out 8 a.m. and done and dusted. Well, Emma Tinson is probably back home in Surrey. She may be joining us in the second part of the programme. Clearly, our lass from the Isle of Man, Jessica Ward, well, she's still in the Isle of Man, which is. Probably, is it slightly, no, I think it'd be slightly smaller than Gibraltar. Mind you, it'd be an interesting exercise. We should really find that out. Which is bigger, the Isle of Man or Gibraltar? Could be an interesting Christmas poser.
Gibraltar's only about 3 kilometres, so it's quite difficult to be
small,
smaller.
Gabriella, but perfectly formed, much like yourself.
Yeah.
We had hoped that we would be joined by the official history making 2014 last midweek drive out of the year. That would be Sophie Grayson. However, she is actually possibly still recovering from her festive meal that her flatmates were cooking for her. She was a bit worried about this when she left the show last night, so who knows? That's all I can say. But, you know, trusting your flatmates, no matter how much faith you might actually have to actually cook a meal for you safely, particularly when it involves chicken, could be a bit of a risk. But never mind.
Yeah.
You don't want to be undercooking that turkey. It's not good. Are you in the festive mood in Gibraltar, or is it just a case of, well, just put another ham shank on the oven or whatever?
We've got our Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. I've just put my tree last week, so even though I'm not usually that festive as a person,
mm-hmm.
Gibraltar does obviously celebrate its Christmas, but the weather just isn't like how it is in the UK. You can kind of feel the winter and it makes you kind of feel a bit Christmassy while here we've got sunshine, so it's
well,
doesn't really add to the Christmas spirit, does it?
This, no, but you see, once again, proving that you've attended rehearsals and read from the script, you reminded me quite rightly, we haven't done the weather. Weather today, highs of 13 degrees centigrade, lows of 5 degrees centigrade, cloudy and mild with patchy light rain or drizzle. Now, what's not festive about that? Anyway, moving on.
The cold is quite festive.
If you can actually get on a quick flight, you could actually join us this evening for the Siren Voices, a fabulous celebration of Christmas with the Siren Choir, their first, I believe, official engagement, put together, of course, by Andrew David, Ed Wellman, and a whole heap of fantastic talent. That's taking place in the atrium of the University of Lincoln from 7 o'clock this evening. But worry not, Gabriella, because if you're sort of thinking, mm-hmm. I would have been there, but unfortunately, somebody else has borrowed the jet for today. You can actually listen online. So you can actually listen online because Siren will be transmitting the entire service, all being well, from 7 p.m. onwards. Very exciting. Anyway, that's assuming the gaffer tape works and all the rest of the bits and pieces together. No, it'll be fantastic. It'll be wonderful. You've got our team on the form. This is your first Christmas in Gibraltar for a few years, isn't it? Because previously to that, you were doing a degree in journalism at the University of Lincoln.
Yes, I always came back around mid-December or late December.
Right.
But I think it's the first time in 3 years I've spent the entire Christmas period in Gibraltar.
And Gibraltar is duly grateful for that. You know, it's fantastic stuff, and sure, that's wonderful. So, would you ever be leaving again, or is it just a case of, no, I'm in Gibraltar now, I intend to stay here, probably for the next 85 years?
Pretty much,
yes. Yeah, fine. Well, that's okay.
I'm trying to stay here.
That
is my plan.
Yeah, well, that's as long as you're focused, that's important, because we need to know. I mean, you've got, obviously, your Phil Leonis and your Ilana Raines and various other folk heading off in all sorts of ways. Listen, I know you might not have caught the unveiling last night because you're working so hard at Gibraltar Broadcasting Company, or GBC, presumably that's the official title, that you may not have actually heard Penny Evans' latest Christmas release. So, given that you are classic happy panda, sad panda, we can give you that choice. We could go, would you like happy panda or sad panda? Or would you like us to say, what the hey, scrap the happy panda, sad panda, and let's go for Penny Evans together with Demelia Denton and Ulrik Kilstrom, who I believe are Norwegian, and Christmas Night. What would you like, Gabriella?
I choose Penny Evans.
Thank you.
course, it could have been a UFO. Never mind. It could just be something in the pies. What did you make of Penny Evans and the Christmas wonderful number she's put together with Ulrich and D'Amelia?
I thought it was really nice, very angelic sounding.
Mm-hmm. I think I
said yeah, kind of doing that Christmas angel kind yeah, of sound.
I think it's a best one yet. When they actually get around to shooting the video, which presumably will be for next year when they release it on that sort of side of things, Gabriella, I think you should actually sort of be signed up as the official Christmas fairy. Just a thought.
Yes.
Oh, you can see it, you know, they all sort of think that. Mm-hmm. It's not a fantasy, but there we are. Penny Evans, who's feeling pumped last night, or 6 hours ago, she said. Oh, wow, what an awesome Christmas party we had at Club Acoustic last night. She sang the song Christmas Night with the backing track. Luke and D'Amelia went down a treat. Some great performers. And what with having fun via Facebook and the show with Alex and the Midweek Drive radio show, who aired the song twice, which is three times now, and now this amazing evening, she's feeling pretty jazzed. Well, so you should. Yeah, it's some marvellous stuff.
Oh, that's great.
She's probably not listening to this at present because she'd be unconscious, but never mind. It might listen to a podcast. Listen, do you know what other special event it is in the world today, Gabriella?
As a journalist, I should know, but I'm going to say no.
It's Nikki Wells's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, Nikki Wells.
Okay, happy birthday, Nikki.
There you are, you
I'm
see.
And in fact,
we're just retrospectively dedicating Penny Evans' Christmas song to your good self. So there we are, Christmas Night special. Not birthday song, but I figured, what the hey? You know, it's the kind of thing which I'm sure would sort of go down well with our official rockette and host of Books Rock. That would be Nikki Wells. So there we are. She never does the Midweek Drive these days. She's moved to other fish to fry. So there we are. Okay. Well, it's the way it is. It's what's going on. Facebook is a message that you access. Melanie Gow, looking forward to speaking with the Midweek Drive on the East Midlands radio station, the USRN FM. She's on the Midweek Drive at 9 a.m. And her book, Walking with Angels. See what Melanie did there? Do you see that lovely sort of connection there? Christmas Angel, Walking with Angel.
Yep.
It's all connected. Absolutely. 94-page full-colour coffee table book illustrated throughout with photographs woven together by the inspirational story of one woman's walk across, of course, a whole range of aspects. It's a fantastic story, and it's one I don't want to even sort of begin to put into play now. We'll let Melanie tell the story in her own unique way after 9 o'clock this morning. So splendid stuff. So, Gabriella, are you still being worked hard by the Gibraltarian Broadcasting Company?
I wouldn't say, worked hard, but yes.
Good.
Still work there, so.
Well, you should always say, basic sort of routine here, you always say, yes, I'm working my fingers to the bone, they're squeezing every little last iota of creativity out of me, but I don't care because I love the GBC. That's the official line, you see. That way you can also sort of confirm, you know, you get a pay rise, plus a whole range of things, plus, of course, we've given this lots of mentions on the show today, so you've cross-promoted on a multimedia platform. It's fantastic. Right. And finally, Gabriella, you said obviously it's an interesting sort of time. It's a bit like, I suppose, the Southern Hemisphere in Gibraltar, although it's not. It's the Northern Hemisphere, quite clearly. Our geography isn't that challenged. But in terms of the Christmas routine, would you be doing anything for Christmas? Lecture? Would it be a case of, no, you know, this time around, it'll be basically all prepared by your parents and looked after in the way that parents actually do?
That will be the case.
Yep.
Yes, that will be the case, probably. I'm going to have a Christmas dinner on Friday with work. We've already had our pre-Christmas dinner, and I've already had another media dinner for Christmas.
Right.
So we celebrate a lot in Gibraltar.
It's a tough call, Gabriella, but somebody's got to go for it, so that's important.
Yeah.
And so, as we sort of come to the end of this particular phone link, we have a couple of classic questions, which we're varying in all sorts of ways, because first of all, Gabriella Peralta, is it Happy Panda or Sad Panda, as far as the phone link is concerned?
Happy Panda.
Hey! And can we look forward to connecting with you in 2015, keeping us and appraised of the Happy Panda, Sad Panda opposition, which fundamentally is kind of crucial to, obviously, the Western world surviving in the 21st century?
Yes, definitely. I'll be here.
Hey,
and a Happy Panda too.
It's fantastic. You know, I feel it's time for Bodie M.
There is boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
long time ago in Bethlehem.
Great tribulation, oh my Lord.
You know, I think in 2015 we're going to have a regular Boney M feature on the Midweek Driver standing, and it's almost impossible to play without a smile on your face. Curious. I can almost see Richard Fitzwilliams dancing around, hopping, possibly with telephone receiver in one hand, to the delights of Boney M and the classic Mary's Boy Child and, oh my Lord, fantastic stuff. Richard Fitzwilliams, have you composed yourself? Are you all set for what is the last ever piece of 2014? For the Midweek Drive Morning Edition from your good self.
Indeed, I am composed and waiting and ready.
Well, as The Telegraph said earlier this week, Robbie Collin, for anyone fascinated by Hollywood's innermost workings, the hacked cachet of emails from Sony Pictures came as an early Christmas present from the e-monstering of Angelina Jolie by Amy Pascal, the studio's co-chairman and one of its most successful producers, Scott Rudin, to the same duo's racially inflected joshing about a breakfast meeting with Barack Obama. The trove seems to bear out every last grubby suspicion about the upper echelons of the American movie business. Surely business as usual, Richard, isn't it?
Well, you might say that, and I am going to comment, because, of course, as you know the story, let us update the story and the fact that, basically, the Guardians for Peace are appear to be a terrorist organization linked to North Korea, and the result of these emails has been the pulling of the interview from theatres in the United States. President Obama has weighed in, and what is occurring now is Hollywood coming together, because at one time in the initial part of this, with the racially insensitive comments that were in those emails between, as you say, Amy Pascal, the co-chairman of Sony, and Scott Rudin, and also we had the revelation that even the top actresses are paid less than...
Well, that's because their work isn't as stressful as the male scenario, surely. I mean, this is the point that Sukin went on to... Or Sukin compared the performance of Colin Firth in The King's Speech with Natalie Portman's in Black Swan. And so, that, you know, actors have had to sort of work much harder from that point of view. Only joking before the sort of emails are flooded in.
I'm sure you'd end it by saying precisely that. Otherwise, things could go viral. No, seriously, comparing American Hustle and who got what, Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence, Amy Adams, you got a very unpleasant surprise. And if any good comes of this, lifting the lid off of this, I mean, movie making is a very, very tough business. You do not expect emails flowing from one executive to another to be full of the kindest thoughts necessarily, although Angelina Jolie is, you could see the ice in her face when she, the icy stare when she greeted Amy Pascal, if greeted is the word. I would subsequently say that Brad Pitt has weighed in and said that people shouldn't read the hacked Sony emails, because basically it is what is being done is grossly unfair, and it has managed, I think, to reach a situation that we have, it is a form of terrorism at the moment.
Indeed. Okay, moving on to interesting conflict between yourself and indeed our regular Los Angeles directorial correspondent Phil Leonis, because whereas Phil was positively raving about Scarlett Johansson's performance in Under the Skin, it would seem that you would say that it was actually the year's most overrated. Astounding, Richard. Mostly you're pretty much as one with Phil Leonis, but when it comes to Under Her Skin, that's one where you're definitely at polar opposites. The rest of the review, I think, is quite fascinating. In Between Us 2 gets a mention, Horrible Bosses 2, City, A Dame to Kill For. You knew what you were getting. It's fantastic. Paddington giving thumbs up. It's actually, you've managed to praise in this little number the whole year of wonderful, delightful correspondent pieces you provided for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, plus more. But of course, the beauty of it, as we know, Richard, is people can actually download all of your material by going to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. They could, if they so wished, have non-stop Richard Fitzwilliams filling their audio wonderful consciousnesses over the Christmas period. What better way?
Well,
what better treat to the world?
Only thought, I have to say, and certainly with Phil's, we in fact have exchanged messages with reference to best films, and he would go with Nightcrawler, Birdman, which, I mean, both are superb, and also the Grand Budapest Hotel, which is marvellous. No question, though, Under the Skin, I was disadvantaged because I didn't know the plot. If you know the plot, and I think most reviewers did, then the film assumes a totally different character. Oh.
It's Scarlett Johansson as a predatory alien prowling Glasgow. What's not to appreciate?
Because I didn't know that, and because I like films to be a surprise, I don't watch trailers, I try and avoid spoilers, and if you don't know she's a predatory alien and you simply look at what's on screen and there's no initial information that tells you this...
You're bewildered.
Exactly. I was infuriated and irritated. Well, but apart from that, yes, I suppose most of my views are pretty mainstream, although I have to say Exodus, Gods and Kings is...
awesome and dramatic, you say. Awesome and dramatic.
I think it's awesome and dramatic. Flawed, to be sure, but if you read Time magazine's comments, putting it mildly, the reviewers are divided, and there are those who absolutely hate Ridley Scott, and they're having a field day at the moment. But the movie is well worth seeing, and you'll find it thought-provoking too. It is dramatic. It proves that a religious movie doesn't have to be boring.
Two movies, of course, you mentioned, which have not gone on general release as yet, but I'm looking forward to certainly Michael Keaton in Birdman, which, as you say, is incredible in terms of that, and also The Theory of Everything, of course, with Eddie Redmayne taking on the role of Stephen Hawking. So they both launched, I think, in very early January, I think.
Birdman, in fact, I think is next week, and that's a movie which is surely to savour, because you've got Michael Keaton giving this amazing performance. It's directed by Alexander Gonzalez Iñárritu and tells the story of, someone who was at... his career was soaring when he played Birdman. It had crashed, and he gets an actor who gets the idea that he'll make a comeback on Broadway. My good gracious me, it is a disaster, but it also allows Keaton to project magnificently Ed Norton and Emma Stone, give superb support.
And let's be honest, what was his role in Tim Burton's Batman other than preparation for Birdman?
On the subject of Tim Burton, that brings me to Big Eyes, because Burton is actually telling a story, I would say, in a reasonably straight way, and I thought it was absolutely delightful. I didn't know the story of the Keane paintings, the fact that in the 1950s and 60s, Margaret Keane became famous for her paintings of children with big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Very appealing kitsch to many millions, it turned out, and her husband, Walter, who couldn't paint, played by Christoph Waltz, she is played by Amy Adams, went to court to claim he did them and pretended that he did them. A most extraordinary study of, firstly, of one of the first, you could say, American, almost pseudo-feminists, you have to say. She left her husband and had taken her child, and in those days, little doubt that a very, very vulnerable situation, and she's taken advantage of by this extraordinary fantasist. It's a story to savour. Amy Adams is absolutely marvellous. Christoph Waltz maybe overacts a little, but he can do no wrong in my eyes. But this is Tim Burton actually telling a story, not like Alice in Wonderland, but a straight tale, well filmed. You get the feel of the 50s. I liked it.
Excellent. We couldn't let you go, Richard, without mentioning that Belvedere Vodka gets top billing in the new Bond movie Spectre, and the pre-publicity, which is reaching almost frenzied state already, could have quite a lot to live up to, this particular number. But Belvedere is the vodka that could well be actually stepping into the martini place, a new martini, Belvedere Vodka. Interesting.
I suspect that shaken, not stirred, may appear.
Well, of course.
Fine, but a little doubt. That as Bond changes, perhaps his tipple may change. I mean, remember, this is a Bond who has escorted the Queen to the opening of the Olympics. So we're expecting great things.
And speaking of Her Majesty, it would seem that although normally it's not revealed, but generally the accepted view is that Joan Collins will be made a dame.
That has been leaked to the papers.
Mm.
I think it's a very good choice. It certainly seems to me to be... spot on.
Personally, her roles in Dynasty and The Bitch, fantastic material. Really sort of, I think...
Over all the years, you know, she's given us so much entertainment in one way and another, and she's one of those
and
those figures who they go back a long way, and also they're consistently good humoured.
Yeah. And of course, let us not forget her classic role as Edith Keeler in the wonderful City on the Edge of Forever episode of Star Trek.
And interesting to remember that I was watching a few months ago a test for Cleopatra before Elizabeth Taylor got the role.
So close and yet so far, eh? Never mind, Joan. At least you're a Dane now. That's the important thing.
Oh, that is indeed.
Okay, moving on. There's a whole heap of other things we could mention.
By the way, we must wait the announcement, of course, as with all these things. It's always interesting with the honours list to see who's in and who isn't.
Okay, again, I suspect, actually, just for our podcast listeners, we'll be putting together a special interregnum, interpiece, because although, yes, Midweek Drive Morning Edition takes a 2-week break before we're actually back in full force on January the 8th, Thursday, January the 8th. Of course, we're back on Wednesday, January the 7th for the Midweek Drive, but I think we'll probably sort of squeeze in a sort of commentary there. I feel it will probably happen, Richard, so that our podcast listeners...
Because the honest list, it's also, I have to make the point that most honours, almost all honours now, are tied or linked in some way to the philanthropy of some sort of charity, what you do for those in the community, what you've done to help others, as well as the main job. Not exclusively, but certainly 3/4 of them, and a very large number is suggested by members of the public. I mean, it is a far, far more responsive list than not 20 years ago. I mean, it was a completely different thing and way out of touch in some fields, such as sport.
Ask not what your charity can do for you. Ask what you can do for your charity, to paraphrase Kennedy. Briefly wrapping up in terms of Exodus, Gods and Kings, awesome and dramatic, as we said. Interstellar, extraordinary. Godzilla works. The Hobbit Battle of Five Armies, disappointed, but what a series.
One must pay tribute to that. I mean, Peter Jackson, his creation, when you see all six, if you want to, you will see the extraordinary way, the magic of Lord of the Rings, that's got to get a tribute.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, superb. Fury in parts, very good. Noah, a success overall. Guardians of the Galaxy, a huge hit. And then The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, was quite good. Damned with faint praise, surely. The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, was quite good.
Quite good, yes, because it's stretched out. They're stretching it out in the next movie.
Yes, but you know, as Aaron Sorkin would actually say, Jennifer Lawrence doesn't have to do a great deal in The Hunger Games, does she? I mean, she's very mild. Surely it's all down to the males.
No. In the last Hunger Games, to be fair, Lawrence produces, as she's produced in everything she's done, from Winter's Bone onwards. But let's be frank about it. The Hunger Games, they're stretching the numbers of movies that they're making out of it. I'm very fond of Donald Sutherland as President Snow, and I'll get used to Julianne Moore as his opposite number seeking.
And who knows?
Lawrence is very good, but let's face it, this is being stretched out for box office reasons. That's why I made the comment.
And who knows, Julianne Moore might actually be picking up stuff for Maps to the Stars. But we'll talk about, obviously, Julianne Moore, Scarlett Johansson, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Patricia Arquette and Marion Cotillard in the very near future, because, of course, Golden Globes appears shortly. I suspect Grace of Monaco will not get a nomination for either BAFTAs or Golden Globes. Don't worry, Nicole, we still think you're fantastic. Pompeii was ridiculous. Amazing Spider-Man 2 crashed. Very unfortunate if you're a superhero. Monuments Men was poor. Labor Day was certainly wasted. Sex Tape was risible. What's wrong with Cameron Tilbury? It's just the way she is. Not Cameron Tilbury, Cameron Diaz. A Freudian slip there with our Nashville correspondent. One's male, one's female, but never mind. That's probably the reason Sex Tape didn't actually work.
Well, it certainly didn't, but let's be frank, it's been an absolutely marvellous year for movies. And you mentioned Marion Cotillard, my goodness, 2 Days, 1 Night, what a performance. And Leviathan and Ida and The Past, these movies are absolutely superb. So, I mean, with The Imitation Game 2, we must get the mention to Benedict Cumberbatch, playing these geniuses who were challenged in certain ways, and we've rarely read Redmayne giving another superb performance in The Theory of Everything as Hawking. I mean, remarkable. And Mr. Turner, I mean, there's a movie to...
And possibly in the near future, he will be Dr. Stephen Strange, the next aspect of the Marvel Universe to be developed. And what's not to love about Dr. Strange, by the powers of the omnipotent Ostia and by the Shanti and so on, with the Ancient One. I think we're running out of time, Richard, as ever, but I think probably mentioning Richard Linklater's extraordinary Boyhood, as you mentioned.
Yes, Boyhood is just amazing. amazing. I mean, there are several movies that we've just got to give a brief mention to. Boyhood, filmed over 11 years. It's about the coming of age of someone who's 6 to when they reach adolescence at 17 and start dating and so forth. And it's the same cast got together every year. And for a studio to have faith like that, well, the director's a truly marvelous figure. He's done Before Midnight, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and here he excels, and I hope Boyhood, up against Birdman at the awards, I hope it does well. Gone Girl, fantastic. David Fincher on cracking form. And Locke, well, there's a way of telling a story. Tom Hardy in a car, and you learn all about him. That's superb too.
Richard, so much to pack in. We've done a fair attempt, I think, at actually managing all of that. Have you had a reasonably interesting series of telephonic links over 2014 with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Yes, I certainly have. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and many thanks to you and congratulations for everything the station has achieved.
Well, let's move on to obviously look at the next series, season 2015, as we like to say. I take it you'll be back for 2015 for more excitement as we head into another year of revolution from the Earth around the Sun.
I look forward to it enormously.